So I'm just going to hand it over to him.
Woohoo! All right, this is going to be good. You know why? Because I got attacked with a computer virus last night. It took me 2 hours to figure out how to get everything back up and running. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because when you're about to give a word from God and you get attacked, for me, that's just confirmation that the word is going to be good. Amen. That God is in it. You know, I really believe that sometimes, you know, there's a little bit of opposition. I was like, you know, God, why do you give opposition? Why do you let the enemy have opposition sometimes? And a long time ago, you know what the Lord told me? He said, so you would know that it's worth something. I want you to fight for it so it'll be worth something, so that when you do receive something from me, you do not let it go. I want you to show you its value. And it's interesting about receiving things from God, because I've learned over the years, God once told me, he said, yeah, if you don't receive something from me in love, it will be worthless to you. Have you ever had a gift from somebody that you didn't really care about? How did you treat that gift? Not very well. It usually gets wrecked. But if you have a gift from somebody that you care about, then you treat that gift well, right? And so sometimes, you know, if you want to get something from God, you got to fight for it. Amen? Ha! So today, you know, I'm going to be talking about holiness. And, you know, sometimes I can appear irreverent, especially in talking to me. So it's okay. It's true. So I'm not religious at all. And sometimes I've been called legalistic. People are laughing. Sometimes I've been called legalistic. And, you know, me, as far as the whole irreverent, legalistic thing, the irreverent part is, I remember the days when I was in sin. And I remember the days after I got saved. And when I got saved, what happened was God actually gave me a revelation of what my sin was doing to me and doing to God. And I cried out to him for deliverance. It wasn't me giving up my sin so I could have more of God. It was me asking God to set me free. Amen? And that's a lot what holiness is about. And I'm skipping ahead, so I'll just pray. Holy Spirit, right now, thank you, Lord, for your power. I thank you, Lord, that it's not about religion, it's about relationship. I praise you, God, that it's not about religion, it's about relationship. It's relationship with you, Lord Jesus, through the power and the presence of Holy Spirit, that you would reveal your will to us through your word, through people, and through signs and wonders, now and throughout the week and for the rest of our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I come to you right now expecting to receive a fresh revelation on holiness, expecting to receive something that is going to set me free, Lord, and cause me to be excited about the kingdom of God, excited about Jesus Christ, and excited about heaven in Jesus' mighty name. Ha! I ask, Lord, that you would send me something, Lord, that I would get a revelation that would light my heart on fire. Ha! That I would be on fire for God, blazing with passion. That same passion that you have for me, I might be able to have the privilege of having for you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Okay. Revelation 4:8 talks about holiness. It talks about there's angels and there's elders, 24 elders, I think it is, or 48. Yeah, 24 elders. They're seated in white robes and they got crowns of gold on their head. There's seven lampstands, which they say is the seven spirits of God. And they surround the throne of heaven, and they cry out Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they do this day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And this, my friends, is the anthem of heaven. They don't cry, mercy, mercy, mercy. They don't cry, love, love, love. Or forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. Or even judgment, judgment, judgment. But they cry, holy, 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 right? As my friend articulately put it, Jacob. And it's so true that this is the anthem of heaven. Holiness. What is holiness? I guess by definition, holiness means being separated. That'd be the Oxford def. But I don't believe that it's just a definition. I don't think separation, even the word in itself, I don't think that holiness is a noun. I think that it's a verb. I think that it's an action word. Wah! Action. Holiness has action. And the action, the person who actually takes that action is God himself. You see, God calls us to be holy, to be separated from this world onto himself. It's good, because originally I was thinking maybe I should preach about Samson, but that was a little more negative. I'm glad that I get to preach this word, because it's a lot more positive. It's a lot more anointed. Ha. So God wants to separate us onto himself. He is holy, and he wants to make us holy. So we do not walk in the statutes of the nations that God is casting before us, but we will inherit the land. That we might distinguish what is between what is clean and unclean. And that's what happens when we get separated onto God. Right? That we should be separated from people, and that we shall be his. We shall be holy unto him, and we shall be separated unto him. Look at it says there, verse 26. God wants to separate us from the world unto himself in order to make us holy. Isn't that great? It's not about religion. It really is about relationship. You know how I know? For one, God is holy. I didn't even have time to put everything that I wanted to put in here, so some stuff I'm just going to mention. Okay? God is holy, and God wants to bring us to the place where he is. Do you know where God is? He's at the center of life. He's at the center of power. He's at the center of goodness. He's at the center of mercy. He's at the center of grace. He's at the center of glory. He's not only at the center, but he is the center of it all. He's at the center of awe and wonder. And in his presence, there is peace. There's joy. There's love. There's satisfaction. There's fulfillment. And that's the place where God wishes to bring you into the place of his goodness. It's very important because, you see, the reason why God separates us from the world is because the world is going to hell in a handbasket. If you don't let the presence of God separate you from the world because you love the world more than you love God, you know what happens? You go where the world is going. And do you know where the world is going? Hell. It's already there in so many different ways. There's killing, destroying, hurting, pain. pain, crying, jealousy, murder, envy, boastfulness. You know, I was watching the Chronicles of Narnia the weekend, and there's this scene where the mist comes to get the people, and they're sold as slaves, and it takes the people off the boat as an offering. And I really believe that that's what happens, is some of us are made slaves to sin, and some of us are just destroyed by the enemy because of sin. They're murdered, they're killed, they're destroyed, their hearts are broken, they're dashed to pieces. You know, so it's really important that we would get with God's program and we would want to go where God is, because God's not there. God's in the place of the abundant life in Him. I know. That's where God is. He's in the place of peace and joy and love and purpose and fulfillment and glory. That's where God is. And He's actually calling us into that place. Come up here, says the Lord. God Almighty, who is holy, holy, holy. You know, in the Old Testament, in Exodus, I wish I had my little notebook. I'd give you the exact Bible verse. It actually talks about the holy place and the holy of holies. God can actually take you from holy to holy or from glory to glory. Who wants to go from holy to holy or glory to glory? Who wants to go from to joy to joy? From peace to peace? To strength to strength? Yeah. Then we must separate ourselves from this world and spend some time with Jesus. You see, there was two sons of Aaron. Maybe you can't read that, just look it up. I'm just giving you the overview. These two sons of Aaron, they offered a strange fire unto the Lord. They were actually drunk. And they went into God's presence. Strange worship unto the Lord. And this is how we enter in, how we go to that place. You know what happened? They were incinerated. They're incinerated. And Moses, he gives them some rules. He's like, you know, do not cover your heads. Do not have a tear in your clothes. Do not open up the door when you have the anointing oil and the Lord is upon you, lest the wrath of the Lord break out upon you and the people and you die. It says, do not drink intoxicating drink when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. Now, you know what? Some people, they talk about intoxicating drink, and they're like, don't drink alcohol. And it's true. Alcohol will make it so that you can't see the difference between good and evil, and you'll do a lot of stupid things you normally wouldn't do, and you could die. People die all the time in cars because of drinking and driving. Right? But there's another drink that you can drink that will make you drunk and make you do a lot of stupid things. And that drink is called sin. The drink is called worldliness. The drink is called adultery against God. Sometimes that drink is in the form of pornography. Maybe not it's a hardcore porn movie, but maybe it's just a movie with a really explicit sex scene that turns you on while you're, hanging out with that significant other who isn't your wife. Or, right? And you find yourself in adultery. Now, the secret to Christianity, I really do believe, is every time you fall down, get back up. And you can get back up. But I found that when you fall into sin, it's really hard to get back up. Anybody ever notice that? It's really hard to get back up. Actually, one of the best ways to get back up is to pray to the Lord and say, Lord, please pick me back up. And this is, I've had a lot of friends who've fallen away from God. I've been saved almost 18 years. And I remember trying to invite my friends to church. My friend Neil, I went to his house every day for 6 months. And at the end, my friend Neil would be yelling and swearing at me, go away, Jay, I'm not going to effing church. This guy got me, helped get me saved. This guy was a youth and young adult leader. This guy was the guy who they were going to pay to go to Bible college to become a pastor. Okay? This guy was a hero of mine in the faith when I first got saved. You know what happened to him? You want to know what happened to him? He hooked up with this girl in the youth group and he started sleeping with her. And he felt too guilty to go to Bible college. Then he felt too guilty to go to church. And then he felt too guilty to serve God. And he died. I pray for him a lot. I pray that he's serving God again. The last time I heard, he was. But he didn't serve God for a very long time. He was offering strange fire unto the Lord, and he died. He didn't die all at once, but he died little by little by little by little. He found it hard to get into the presence of the Lord. And when he did get into the presence of the Lord, the sin that was he was committing was actually hardening his heart against him. Pushing him out of the presence of God. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. I've seen it happen a few times to a few friends of mine. People who are on fire for God. Don't let this be you. Don't let this be you. Endeavor to press in. And be like Moses. Moses climbed up the mountain when everybody else was worshiping the golden calf and sinning. Moses loved God so much, he said, show me your glory. I don't even care about the promised land. I just want to be separated onto you. I want to be found inside the rock, beholding the glory of the Lord. And the Lord said, I am the Lord. He was gracious. It actually says that the Lord passed by. And proclaimed to him that he was merciful and long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. And this made him want to serve Jesus all the more. It made him want to go to church. It made him want to do a witness. It made him want to read his Bible. It made him want to seek after God. It brought life, an abundant life. More than abundant life, it brought what the theologians call Zoe life, or the God life. And his face shone with the glory of God. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. That's where I've fought to be and strove to be and fasted to be for years. And every time I get dry, I get on my knees and I just cry out to God, God, don't let me be dry. God, don't let me be lukewarm. God, don't let me be complacent. Even in my cell, sometimes they roll their eyes when I preach against the comfort zone, but I'd be like, oh God, I don't want to be numb. But I want to be filled with your presence. I want to behold the beauty and the glory of God because I know that that's where the life is. That's where the abundant life is. That's where holiness is. I remember my good friend Khaled, really good guy. You guys would like, I wish I had more opportunities to witness to this guy. You know what he used to be? He was a member of the Afghan mafia. A lot of those guys, the terror suspects on September 11th, I met a few of them, believe it or not. And my friend Khaled, one day, was at my brother's studio, and we were talking. It's funny, he's a Muslim, but he drinks. And he said to me, he said, Jay, I remember you used to love partying. How come you don't come partying anymore? I said, nobody loved the beer more than you. And that's true. I liked beer. I didn't care what kind of beer it was, as long as it was wet. That's pretty much was my... As long as it's wet and cold, give it to me. It's going down. You know, I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. Loved partying, loved music. And I said to Khaled, I said, you know what, Khaled? I used to get my pleasure from peace. Or I used to get my peace from pleasure. The pleasure that came with beer and girls and all kinds of other things that are in this world. But now I get my pleasure from the peace that comes from God. And that pleasure is far greater. And I offered him to try it. It's too bad he didn't take me up on that offer. My friend Glenn DeCaries. I hope to bring him here one day. I keep bumping into him. Another really crazy criminal guy. Used to sell guns. I remember him. I was telling him about Jesus and the tears came streaming down his cheeks. And he's like, peace, Jay. Peace. Peace. And you know why he was saying peace, Jay? Because I was trying to get him to come to church and he wouldn't go because he loved his sin. But he knew that the glory of God was there upon me. Oh, I wish that I could bring him where I am. And you know what's crazy? God wishes it 10 times more than I do. God wants to bring people to the place where they're in the cleft of the rock, beholding his goodness and his glory. Do you know why? Because that's the place where you enter into what's called the Holy of Holies, the place where there is no light except for the Lord. That's the place when God will actually show you a vision for your life. He'll give you a call and a purpose and a fulfillment. That's the place where God will give you hope and God will give you peace and God will give you strength to overcome this world. You want that peace? Do you want that hope? Do you want that strength to overcome this world? I do. There's only one place that is found. You know where that is? Yes, it's found in the holy place in the church with the corporate anointing, but God is calling us to go further, to go deeper, to go higher, to go into the Holy of Holies. Washed by the blood of the Lamb. What is this called? In Isaiah 35, they call this the highway of holiness. Because every time you enter into the presence of God, he'll show you a little bit more of his glory. And his holiness will rub off on you. And it says, there shall be springs of living water for all who are thirsty. Where there was once desert, there will be grass and reeds, and the highway there will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not pass over it, because they won't enter in. Ah. Whoever walks the road, though a fool, he shall not go astray. There will be no water lion there. No ravenous beast. The place where you go where there isn't holiness, there's lions there and ravenous beasts. And you might not get devoured the first time, but eventually you will. Because sin has consequences. And the longer you get away with it, the worse the judgment will be on you. But let's talk about the good part here. The good part is those who go with God become the ransom of the Lord, and they come into Zion, which is their promised land. God's promises for their life, God's glory, God's cure for the common life, the supernatural Zoe life, the abundant life, the good life in Jesus Christ, with singing and everlasting joy on their heads. You know what that everlasting joy on their heads is? It's the Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost. It's the real joy. It's the real peace. It's the real love. It's the real strength. It's the real goodness. It says, all these sorrows shall flee away. And it keeps going on and on and on, but we don't have time. I wish we did. The Lord passed by. Do you want the Lord to pass by you and show you his glory and show you his grace? Show you his goodness? Do you want to enter into the Holy of Holies from the holy place? Come on, church, let's do it. You know what will happen if we do it? The manifest presence that's in this room will explode. The gym will be full and we'll have revival. Guarantee it. That's what will happen. That's what will happen. I guarantee it. We'll walk into the highway of holiness and we'll go from glory to glory. From awesome to awesome. We'll have nights of singing and revival nights. And I was talking to Pastor Alvin and he's telling me how much he misses me and how much he misses our church. You know why? Not because of me, but because of the anointing. I know. I went to Followers Mission last month, where they kicked me out the month before. I came in there, the Holy Spirit dropped down, the lady fell to her knees and started praising God. You were there. And then we started laying hands on people and started falling underneath the power. And then they were like, oh, stay, stay. And they brought me to the back and I prayed over some people at the back too. And they got it good. Yeah. That's a lot better than being kicked out. Woohoo! You know why? Because two nights before I went to the Followers Mission, and the night before I said, oh Lord, be with me and go with me, because I don't want to get kicked out again. I said, God, if you don't go before me, I'm not going. And wow, he certainly went before me. I'd encourage you to come out this Monday. Because I don't know what God's going to do, but I'm certainly looking forward to it. If anything like last time. Next slide. Come on, give me the next one. John. Yeah, and the world, you'll be separated from the world. And Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Think about that. And if you were in the world would love you because the world loves its own. But I chose you to be out of this world. That's the main point. God chose us to be out of this world. You know, I'm not afraid of persecution. Sometimes I am, but for the most part I'm not. For me, it's one of the ways that I know that I'm saved. Is if people are upset. Like, it's amazing. I told one person that I was fasting last week because they bought me a coffee and I couldn't drink it because I had milk in it. And the whole plant knows. No kidding. They all keep offering me different things and trying to explain to me how I can eat it now. They're all convicted. And I know that when I walk in tonight, the sex show is going to be on there. And you know who's going to be turning it off? That's right. Some people will be upset. but it's going off. I tell them, you can turn it back on if you want, but as far as I'm concerned, you know, I'm not letting that have a foothold in my life. I told them that's what's wrong with this place. That's what's wrong with society. That's what's dragging us to hell in a handbasket. That and many other things. But we want to be separated from this world. We want to go to the place where God is. To be in the cleft of the rock, beholding the glory of God and the goodness of God. And you know what those goodness and the glory of God is? You'll find in the prayer closet is the place where God will show you all of his promises for your life. The Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard the glory that God has prepared for those who love him. And those who love him seek him. And they find him. And the Bible says God is a great rewarder of those who seek him. He diligently rewards them, and he's full of awe and full of wonder. Full of glory and full of grace. Who wants to press in? I do, I do, I do. I want to press in to the Lord. Go into the Holy of Holies. And that's why holiness isn't a noun, it's a verb. And it's not about religion. It's about relationship. And I'm not a judge. I don't know where you are in your walk with God. Sometimes Holy Spirit shows me because I'm a pastor and I can help Holy Spirit. And there's some people, when I first got saved, you know what God was convicting me of? Smoking dope and swearing. Actually, dealing drugs and swearing. And then smoking dope. Isn't that amazing? Now you know what God convicts me of? Heart motivations, exaggerating, and there's a few things. Oh, presenting myself, hurting people's feelings with the truth of the gospel has been one thing that God's really been hammering me about. He's been really teaching me to speak the truth in love. It's been hard, for me especially, because I'm used to just like, say it how it is. Don't candy coat it. And I'm learning that sometimes God doesn't mind a candy coating, as long as the medicine goes down. You know? And so, just some of the things that God's convicting. You know what else he's been convicting me of? Being considerate for my wife. That's been one. That's been a big one. You know what I've been finding, though? The more considerate I am of my wife, the more my wife is appreciating it, and the better my marriage is getting. My marriage for the last 6 months has been getting better and better and better and better. Well, it's always been getting better, but recently, since God's been really like hammering me on stuff to do with my marriage, it's been getting really better. You know why? Because I entered into the holy place. And I had fellowship with the Lord inside the cleft of the rock. And he began to speak to me about some stuff. And at first, you know what the Lord just said to me? He said, I want you to have a good marriage. Because I was having trouble with not being able to go to certain things and do certain things in God because I was married. And I had to take care of my kids and I had to go to work and different things. I was like, God, why am I so bound by this marriage? Can this possibly be of you? And you know what the Lord said? I want you to have a good marriage. I want you to love your wife. And he's like, and he just started like, it was about 6 months ago, 7, 8 months ago, maybe a year. But he just started hammering me on all this stuff. And he showed me that without a good marriage, all the success in the world and God is not really worth it. And so, yeah, I'm learning to love my wife as Christ loves the church. Even more. And it's a good thing. It's an awesome thing. And I'm benefiting from my time in the Holy of Holies. He's speaking to me about this church and about you, which is why I wrote this sermon. Because God told me that I said, God, why isn't the explosion happen? You know why? Kevin prophesied that there would be an explosion. Marnie prophesied there would be an explosion. Derek prophesied there. These guys, Derek Schneider, prophetic roundtable. Marnie, prophetic roundtable. Fatim, prophetic roundtable. Kevin, well, he's just plain old prophetic. It's true. Once he gets flowing, oh, the juice gets loose. We'll say that. So, there's been all these prophecies, and the Lord's like, yeah, it's true. There is going to be an explosion. I want you to fast and pray for the explosion. And then he said, I need you to pray for your church. It's funny. I was praying for more people, and God said, pray for those people. Isn't that amazing? It started off with me repenting for being a reproach. But anyways, we won't get into that. We got to go to the next one. So, how do we become holy? We have to climb the mountain and enter into the cleft of the rock. We have to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God. When you go into your prayer closet and you surrender your time with your friends or your family or your bar or your TV or whatever it is, that's the place where you offer yourself as a living sacrifice. You are on the altar. All your agenda is on the altar. And it's beginning to burn. How many have been to that place? How many know what I'm talking about? Where you've laid everything aside. And you've decided, I'm just going to go and I'm just going to seek God. Because I need more of God in my life. That actually is the Holy Spirit within you, separating you from the world. So that you might get a vision from Him and strength to keep going. It's mercy. The Bible says God draws people onto Himself. Which is good, because if you don't go there, there's another place you can go, and it's not good. And it says that you will not be conformed to this world. The Holy Spirit will not let you be conformed to this world, because He wants to transform you into the image of Christ because of the renewing of your mind by seeing Him for who He is in the holy place. And you become holy as He is holy. And you learn what is acceptable in the perfect will of God, and what is acceptable in the perfect will of God is acceptable and perfect will for you, because God is for you, not against you. He doesn't come to rob, steal, kill, and destroy you, but He comes to give you life and life abundantly. What God wants to do. I don't know where you're at in God. Some of you I do, some of you I don't. But I do know that for this church at this time, there's a call from Holy Spirit. And it's saying, come up here. Come. Separate yourselves from this world and see the vision that I have for you and for your church, for your life. Because there's people who are tired and people who are discouraged and people who are praying and crying out to God for vision. And God's saying, here it is! I got a whole room full of treasure just for you. And that room is called the prayer closet. Yeah, I still love action movies. And, well, I haven't drank beer in 17 years, but all that stuff. But I found something greater. I found a greater love. I found something more glorious. I found something more fun. I found something more good. You know what that is? The presence of God in the cleft of the rock, passing me by, blowing my mind. Blowing my mind. filling me with tears of joy, filling me with awe, filling me, yeah, worship team, you can come up, filling me with wonder, filling me with hope, filling me with peace, filling me with strength, and setting me free, that I might be able to enjoy that abundant life that Christ paid for. I was telling Veronique I could do a whole series on holiness. You know why? Because I've been to the room where the treasure is, and I got arms loaded full of it. There's more than I could carry. If you feel that you have not been going to that room, that you don't have a vision, that you don't have strength, that you've been feeling burnt out, dried up, that you feel that you've been drifting more toward the world than toward God, I would ask you just to come up to the front, line up. Let this be the beginning of offering yourself as a living sacrifice to God. Let this be the beginning of being transformed through the renewing of your mind. You can do it here. You can do it in your prayer closet in the Holy of Holies. I don't care where you do it, as long as you do it. Because there's a lot of people who are going to come into this building. John Arnott told me that. He said, get ready for an explosion. Carol said to me, you know what she said to me? She said, at first I was wondering why there wasn't hundreds of people in here because of the anointing, and then God told me he was preparing you for something. Just somebody else coming along to confirm what God's been telling me. But you know what? I really don't think that it's so much about me and God, but it's about you and God. And it's not about religion. It's about relationship. And the Lord actually right now is coming to take you into that holy holies. He wants to give you vision. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you the abundant life, the strength. And he doesn't just want to give it to you once, but he wants to give it to you over and 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 over again. And the alternative is awful. Strange fire. Incineration. Death. Hurting. Pain. There's nothing to turn back to. Yeah, they're having a party down there worshiping the golden calf, but the pit is coming. The Bible says in Psalm 2, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. And he will give you the nations as your inheritance. Lest he be angry and his wrath be kindled but a little. I want to kiss the Son. I love kissing the Son. So he fills me with passion. He fills me with glory. He is the God who separates me onto himself and makes me holy as only he is. Who wants revival? Who wants an explosion? Who wants to see the promises of God come to pass? Now, in this generation, at this time, what's the price? My sorrow? My hopelessness? My fear? My complacency, which is a symptom of hopelessness and fear and sorrow and giving up. It's not a very high price. That's why Paul says, compared with the knowledge of God, I consider it all dung.